Good morning. Welcome to church this Sunday morning. Quite warm out, but that's what we want in August. The Christian Church flings wide open its doors like welcoming arms and invites all to come in. This is your Father's house. Let us enter gladly to pray and praise. The announcements this morning, of course, first thing is the ritual friendship cards in back of the pews. If you would like, please fill them out. They're quite helpful to the staff. Also, we have a green insert in the bulletin, and it's about the all-church picnic, this year's all-church picnic, at Sunday, September 11th at 2:30 p.m. till dusk at Camp Laurel View. And you can read about it right there, and things will be going on, and things will be, they'll have fun and games and stuff, so it'd be nice to attend. Also, there's a yellow insert. Miranda Glass Baby Shower, September 10th, 2016, 4 to 7. Christian Church right here. And Melissa Oler, call Melissa Oler to RSVP, and that number and everything's right there. So if you'd like to attend, you're quite welcome to. Thank you. We have a work day on Tuesday, 9 a.m. to 12. And the September and October upper room is on the back of the table, or back of the sanctuary on the table. The cost is $1.25. Are there any other announcements? Anybody have anything?
Bill, choir rehearsal on Thursday night at 6:45.
Okay. Everybody hear that? Okay. Okay, as we get ready to worship, let's take a moment of silence to get ready. Thank you. The opening hymn this morning in the Brown Hymnal is number 5, Morning Has Broken. This is the day that the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. The call to worship is the invocation is a responsive reading in your bulletin. Hear our prayer, O God, for you are a God who hears us and is concerned for our needs. Hear our prayer, O God, for we have often failed to be the people you want us to be.
Hear our confession, O God.
Hear our prayer, O God, for you have given us far more than we need or deserve. And as Jesus taught us to pray, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Please be seated. The community comes together to share tithes and offerings. Since there will never cease to be some need on earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and needy neighbor in your land. The offertory hymn this morning in the Brown Hymnal is number 338. We sing the greatness of our God.
Some in need on earth, I therefore command you, open your hand to the poor and the needy neighbor in your land. Amen. Oh.
And now the community proclaims the word of God. The first scripture reading this morning is Psalm 81, and that's verses 1 and then 10 through 16 in the Old Testament, page 541, if you'd like to follow along. Here begins the reading. I sing aloud to God our strength. Shout for joy to the God of Jacob. I am the Lord your God, who brought you up out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. But my people did not listen to my voice. Israel would not submit to me. So I have given them over to their stubborn hearts, to follow their own counsels. Of that my people would listen to me, that Israel would walk in my ways. Then I would quickly subdue their enemies and turn my hand against their foes. Those who hate the Lord would cringe before him, and their doom would last forever. I would feed you with the finest of the wheat, and with the honey from the rock, I would satisfy you. The word of the Lord. We are blessed to have it. Now we have the anthem, which is Psalm 90 by the Sanctuary Choir. Thank you.
You may be here today carrying some burdens and asking questions like, why is this happening? Why did I get laid off or lose my job? Why am I hit with one thing after another? Well, even when the challenge is great and the bottom falls out, God will give us the strength to deal with the obstacles. And our anthem today proclaims, may He answer you in the day of your trouble, and may He set you safely on high. May He send help from His sanctuary, and may He grant you your heart's desire. Beyond today's challenges are tomorrow's victories.
Maybe I stream with the day of your Thank you so much for that message, choir. Good morning and welcome to our worship this morning on this beautifully warm day. And as we come together to celebrate the message of our Lord, the message of the songs, bringing our burdens to our Lord, it is a perfect time now that we gather and lift up those concerns on our hearts, those joys and celebrations we want to share as a church family, and the opportunity just to be family together. Are there any joys or concerns that someone would like to share? Great. So is that why it took me a long time to get here this morning? Can't be too upset then. Thank you.
Just a prayer for our students going back to school.
Yeah. I'm sure parents are excited about that, too. I'm not going to lie. I'm excited. Absolutely. Did you have something, sweetie? Well, we'll definitely keep your brother and his birthday week in our prayers. Anyone else?
Still keeping me around. Like I only have like one.
Congratulations. Anyone else? Happy birthday, Colton. I take it we're hiding? Is Colton hiding? Are we? Hey, buddy, happy birthday. Yeah. Wanda, we're just sparking it on you. Well, my oldest comes home tomorrow, or on Tuesday. She flies home from Iowa. It's the first time that she's been on a plane, but she's been gone from me for 9 weeks, and as I thought this would be a wonderful break, I miss her dearly. She goes there every summer, and this has been a little longer trek for her because Mom wasn't driving to Iowa this year, so we decided that she could fly home. So I just pray for safe travels for her on the flight and just... I don't know, my baby. I miss her, and I'm just super excited to be reacquainted with her and get to know this new person that's closer to 15 than when she left. So I just ask for prayers for that. I know there was a hand back there again. Over. Wanda? Armando. Happy birthday, Armando. Anyone else? We'll definitely keep them in prayer. And I have some TBI resources if you need them. Anything else? Well, let's come to the Lord in prayer. Gracious God, we center ourselves to you on this beautiful day. We thank you so much for the majesties that you give us that we often take for granted. The beauty of your earth, the beauty of your land, the beauty of the people that make up that land, and we just ask that you continue to remind us of the miraculous deeds that you've done when you created this all for us to sustain and nourish us. We ask you to be with those in our midst that are celebrating great joys and birthdays, and we thank you so much for another year, dear Lord, and we ask you for another year of wholeness and growth and strength. We thank you for those among us that are celebrating anniversaries and milestones and major accomplishments. And we thank you for love and what that means and the model of understanding that marriage is a journey and can be easy at times and can be extraordinarily difficult at times. But that when you are at the center of it, dear Lord, you continue to help us choose one another and find the things that we fell in love with that will hold us through those times of great difficulty. And be with us on the times of great joy. We ask you to be within our midst, those that are struggling illnesses and that may need extra care. And we ask you to be with Joe and guide with him. And even though he may be making decisions that aren't the best for him, dear Lord, we ask that you walk with him and hold him during this time and encourage him to know that there are people around him that care about him and help for him if he just accepts it. Lord, we ask you to continue to be with baby Eli, although this week has been a difficult one. And we just ask that you continue to strengthen this child, dear Lord, and be with the baby's families. Lord, we thank you and we celebrate for the creative wisdom that we have in this congregation. And we thank you for our youth that have celebrated and have given their gifts to this movie and video that will be happening to relay such a beautiful and important message for our young ones this time. And we just ask that you continue to be with the creative muse and with these young ones that are participating in it. We thank you for our heritages, whatever they are. We thank you for, as a community, we can come together and celebrate those ethnicities that make us who we are, and we're just so grateful that we can all be united in that through our diversities. We ask you to be with our teachers and with our students that are returning to school this week. We ask for open minds of learning. We ask for patience and guidance for the teachers. We put so many responsibilities on our teachers, dear Lord, this day, and we just ask that you continue to love them and guide them through the choices that they make, because they are giving us our future leaders. We ask you to be with those that are traveling this week and those that will be reacquainted after long absences. We ask you to be with our servicemen and women who defend us here and abroad, and our local and national and global leaders, so that peace may be discernible and continuing to be on the lips of everyone that makes powerful decisions among us. We ask you to be with those in Louisiana who continue to struggle through those floodwaters and have lost everything, dear Lord. We ask that through the devastation, we still understand that you are walking with us and guiding us. We ask you to be with those that have suffered great losses in Italy with the earthquakes and have lost lives, and all of those natural disasters, dear Lord, that sometimes we take for granted because we can turn off the news with our television screens. We ask you to be with all of us in this time, and we lift up those quiet meditations of our hearts right now, dear Lord. And it is in your most precious and holy name we pray them. Amen. The community comes together to proclaim the word of God through our worship with our children. If you could come forward.
Tomorrow is a very special day. How many of you are going back to school? I think so. I think almost everyone. Now, we know that Mom and Dad want us to really work hard in school. But did you know that God also wants us to work hard and do our best at school? How many knew that? Put your hand up if you did. He did. He does. There are verses in the Bible that tell us this. There's one in Proverbs that says, "Let the wise listen and add to their learning." Now, God wants us to learn here at church, at home, and at school. And there's another verse that says in Colossians, "So in everything we do, we should do it with all of our hearts, as if we're working for God." Hey, and that goes for all of us. That goes for moms and dads in their jobs. That goes for us at school. That goes for at home, getting along with brothers and sisters. And all of that works together. And while you're young, did you know that school, going to school, is actually your job? You're holding down a job by doing your best at school. God, again, he wants us to learn here in church, at home, and at school. So this year, maybe we can work extra hard to make Mom and Dad happy. And in addition, make God happy too. Okay, you can go to your class.
No, they can't. Yeah,
wait, oh, you can't. Wait.
I didn't like
the oh, is this promotion? Oh, hold on.
Back to school time, right? Promotion Sunday at Sunday school also. We don't have too many people changing classes this year, but we need to recognize the few that are. And I always like to take this time to just let everybody in the church know who all we have classes for, because we have classes for everybody, right? Okay, so let me talk to them for a minute, and then I'll talk to you guys. In our church here, we have classes literally for everybody from very young children clear up through adults. And we start them about 2.5 or 3, whenever a child can sit and listen in Sunday school. We start them in the beginner's class downstairs, and they're there until they're in kindergarten. And then we have another class called the God's Helper class, and that is the 3 elementary grades, 1, 2, and 3. And the next class would be middlers, 4, 5, and 6. We have a combined junior and senior high, and at the moment we have 2 adult classes, the Seekers and the Crossroads class. So there is a place for everyone, and I might say all our classes are good. We try to make the children's classes stimulating and interesting, and we're so fortunate, folks. There's a lot of churches that do not have a Sunday school. They don't have children anymore. We have approximately 25 to 27 that attend regularly or semi-regularly, and then we have another 10 to 15 that come sometimes. Because when I do Christmas treats at Christmas time, I do 40-some Christmas treats. So I think that's something we should be very grateful for, and we want to continue because they are the future of the church, of the world, of all of us too. They're going to take care of us, remember that. But we have a few that are being promoted today. We have one little girl who is leaving the beginner's class and going to God's Helper, and that is Juliet Flores. Do you want to come up, Juliet, with me for a minute? I have a special certificate here for you that says that you are promoted, and you'll be going to a class upstairs called the God Helper class, and I'll be showing you where that is. And that's because you're going to first grade this year, okay? Can we give Juliet a hand, please? You want to hold this, honey? Okay. We have one student that is leaving the God Helper class and going up to the Middler's class, and that is Bella McFeely. And Bella could not be here today, and she's going into fourth grade, and we have a tradition here of giving children their own Bible when they do that. We give them a Good News Bible, which we feel is one of the ones that's easiest for them to understand, and we use these in the classes. So Bella will be getting a Bible when I see her shortly. And we have one student who is going to the junior-senior class, Benny. Come here. You don't get a certificate, you don't get a Bible, but you get a hug. And also David. Come here, David. David is also going into seventh grade, but because I like David so much, David's going to stay in the God Helper class with me. So we've got a lot of great kids, and we should be very grateful. So give them a hand, please. You can go sit down. You can go. Now you can go to your class downstairs.
Our scripture reading this morning comes from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 14, verses 1 and then 7 through 14. It's on your Pew Bibles at page 77 in your New Testament if you'd like to follow along. On the Sabbath, when he went to dine at the house of a ruler who belonged to the Pharisees, they were watching him. And so he told this parable to those who were invited. When he marked how they chose the places of honor, saying to them, "When you are invited by any one to a marriage feast, do not sit down in the place of honor, lest a more eminent man than you be invited by him. And he who invited you both will come and say to you, 'Give place to this man,' and then you will begin with the shame to take the lowest place. But when you are invited, go and sit in the lowest place, so that when your host comes, he may say to you, 'Friend, go up higher.' Then you will be honored in the presence of all who sit at the table with you. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. He said also to the man who had invited him, when you give a dinner or a banquet, do not invite your friends or your brothers or your kinsmen or your rich neighbors, lest they also invite you in return and you be repaid. But when you give a feast, invite the poor, the maimed, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you. You will be repaid at the resurrection of the just. These are the words of our Lord. So Luke's gospel message this morning is an interesting one for us because it's kind of cultural when we step ourselves away from it and look back at the scripture. The verses 1 through 6 or 2 through 6 that we didn't read was an interesting test that the Pharisees were trying to do with Jesus. But basically what we're surrounded with this morning is an eating of the meal on the Sabbath with the Pharisees. That one sentence tells us so much. One, it was the Sabbath. And Jewish culture teaches us that nothing is done on the Sabbath. Meal preparation, turning on of lights, any exertion other than worship is not allowed on the Sabbath. And with the Pharisees, so with the highest judicatory body of the day, these folks are watching him. And they want to see what mistakes that Jesus is going to make against the Jewish mainstream. The verses that we don't see or that we haven't read here this morning, 2 through 6, sneaks in a man who was maimed or has an affliction. It's not really important what the affliction was. There's arguments to what it was, but some say swollen joints, some say something else, and it's really not important. What we need to focus on is this man had a need. And Jesus asked the Pharisees around him that if they would heal him, and nobody answered. And then Jesus went one further in scriptures and said, well, what if it was someone that you loved or your animal that fell into a well that could easily be rescued? Would you do that? Pharisees were quiet again, but then Jesus healed him. And Jesus healed the man and then moved on to this parable. So there's a lot of teaching going on in this parable that is unspoken, that Jesus opens up at the ending of this message. Jesus opens up this parable by saying, if there's a wedding banquet and you're invited, don't take the place of honor. Because there's someone always more important than you that's going to come and move you out of that place. So rather, sit at the lowest expected hierarchy of this wedding so that the guest of honor can come up to you and say, please move up and sit with us. Don't steal the attention, but be available to move up. This parable is a reversal of sorts for us. It's Jesus saying at the end of the scripture, all who exalt themselves will be humbled, but those that humble themselves first will be exalted. And then he throws in two sentences or two verses that just kind of definitely throw us off. Don't invite your closest friends, Jesus says, to your banquet, but invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, the blind. And you will be blessed, but your blessing will come at the resurrection. It's interesting for us when we pull these scriptural messages aside because social hierarchy is very important in Jewish culture. So while we may say, well, sure, we're not going to, when we think of the table of honor or a presence of honor at a wedding banquet, I always think of like where the bride and the groom and the bridesmaids and the groomsmen sit. Well, if you're invited, of course you're not going to sit there if you're not a bridesmaid. But in Jewish hierarchy, depending on your wealth and your importance and your status in the community, depended on where you sat. And so Jesus was really reversing that social construct for us. And while we may think it's not a big deal, think about how that translates to us in 2016 in our churches. Because I assure you that social distinction continues to matter to us. In our churches, and in our lives. Even though this one difference in antiquity is a big deal for them, I think if we're honest with ourselves, it's important to us today, although maybe a little bit more covertly. Jesus is challenging that social matrix of the first century. He's in He's being invited to a dinner at the home of a Pharisee on the Sabbath. Violation of Jewish law there. He heals a man and he defends it. Another violation. And then he tells the guest of honor who he needs to invite to his next gathering, who are outcasts and nobody that a man that could put on a banquet would normally invite. It's an upheaval. When I was thinking about this passage today and how I wanted to share it with you and how it really affected us in our social construct, the first thing that came to my mind was an Oxfam dinner. And I don't know if many of you are familiar with an Oxfam dinner. It's something that when I was a settled pastor in a congregation that I did each year, because it really threw off the balance of the social construct of the day. What an Oxfam dinner is it's supposed to, based on the structure and the number of people that are attending, it distributes the world's equity in percentages. So what it really shows you is that the 3% of the population are really, of the entire world, are really those that can afford a major meal. And then it goes down to a class system. So you have your smallest population of people, about 3 to 5%, that represent the wealthiest of all nations. And then you have that middle income, higher population of people, maybe 10 to 15%. And then the overwhelming majority are in the poor section. But you don't tell people. So if you go to an Oxfam dinner, here's a little secret. You don't tell the people that are invited where they're going to fall. You just tell them that it's a dinner and come hungry. And I know initially that may seem mean, but what you do is you encourage them to come to fellowship. And when they come, they pick a ticket. And depending on what their number is, determines where they sit. And when you walk in, you can see something that's very different from the outset. The first set of tables is usually decorated for maybe 3 or 4 people, and it's cloth. It's a cloth tablecloth, cloth napkins, nice plates. They have servers there waiting for them. The middle class, they'll get a table, but there's not going to be any cloth. They'll get some plastic forks and knives and a napkin, some water on the table, and just an uncomfortable kind of wooden seat. And then you see this big area that has nothing but a styrofoam plates, styrofoam cups, and a pitcher of water. And so as these people come in with their tickets, many husbands and wives, children, family members, they're all separated from each other and they take their seats. And so the largest population of folk have to sit on the floor, and then the second group gets to sit on some wooden chair, and the other ones are on your cushiest, best chairs that you have for dinner, whichever you have in your congregations. And you don't talk to them. You just come out and you give them instructions about the servers will sit the higher class down, ask them what they want to drink, get it for them in fancy little cups, and they're not allowed to talk to any of the other participants who are at this time getting a bit squirrely. So then you come out as the MC and you introduce yourself and you say to the middle class that you can have refillable water, but your only choice of beverage is water. And then you look to the lower class and say that pitcher of water that you have is all you have. So you have to share it amongst yourself, and there can be 15 to 20 people there. And then dinner starts. And usually in the lower class, it's just some rice. Usually in the middle class, it's rice with some beans, maybe a hot dog, maybe chicken, depending on what you want to give them. And then in the upper class, it is a full 3-course meal, salads, meal, dessert. And you don't tell them what they're doing. And it's interesting to see it play out because people get really angry. And then they get, not only do they get angry, but the first time that we did this, we had a husband and wife, and the husband got to the upper class, and the wife got to the lower class, and she was angry at her husband because he was eating, and she was not, and he wouldn't share her food. There was a general rule, you couldn't share, you couldn't switch, your lot in life was your lot in life, and people really got angry, and we let them eat, and then we came together, and we explained to them that they were representing the world's makeup, and the disparity, and the inequity in the world. And as angry as you got watching that 3-course meal is as angry as you should get at the injustice in the world. And that's when they kind of got it. They still weren't happy. But what we tried to tell them was that you could leave this place and probably pick up a $2.99 meal at McDonald's or a pizza. But the people that are getting up from that rice meal in a third world country can't. And so we have the choice that otherwise you don't have. And so it's a beautiful illustration for us as overindulged Americans, no matter where we are in our social construct, to understand that the disparity and the inequity in the world is palpable. And that's what Luke is trying to do for us this morning. He's telling these people at a wedding, all of the listeners to hear, to be less inclined to take the most important of everything so that you're not displaced by somebody of greater importance. Because in social hierarchy, my friend, there is always somebody more important than you. Jesus is speaking to us to pursue humility. And to very rarely in the first century is humility considered as a Greco-Roman cultural norm. It's really not. But for us, Jesus is shaking it up and teaching us that things that are impossible are possible, but we can't grab on to what the world is teaching us. That's what Scripture means when it tells us the otherworldly things. It's the countercultural stuff that we talk about, the exchange of who not to invite, or the people that we really should be inviting, and the people that we would be comfortable with are probably the people that will make us complacent and closer to choose things that aren't what these scriptures are telling us about. Jesus is commanding us in Luke to open our doors to the people who cannot return the favor, because the favor is going to be returned to us by the graciousness of our Lord. The Beatitudes speak to us about it. Psalm 81 speaks to us about it. All of those messages of living this earth not for the repayment that you can receive, but do it in graciousness and do it in humility, and don't seek out to be repaid. Luke is famous throughout his entire gospel to illustrate for its readers a reversal of expectation. Just when you think you're comfortable and can get away with this teaching that Jesus is giving us, Luke pulls the rug out from under us and tells us it's the complete opposite. The passage today in Luke is a foreshadowing of the eschatological banquet that God is going to give us to all those who are included. Not just the people that look like us, or not just the people that we may choose to be at that table. The reality of this message is that it's about radical inclusion, radical acceptance, and understanding that everybody that has a voice to speak, even though that the message may be different than us, has a place at the table. And that's really hard for us. In times, and especially in times like now, when we're being pulled in all different directions about our political allegiance and the things that are going on in the world and those hotbed button items that people want to use to be divisive, Jesus is counterculturing that and saying it is about radical inclusion and radical acceptance. It's not about where you stand, it's about what you're willing to share. I was taught this lesson more and more a parent yesterday. I was invited to be a part of the Out of the Darkness suicide walk that happened downtown Pittsburgh in Station Square yesterday morning. And at first I was just going as a representative of Resolve and to talk to people that may have an emotional reaction to the subject matter at the walk. But as I was going around and seeing people who were displaying why they were there, I couldn't imagine the beauty and the gift that was given to me. Poignantly, when people came and registered yesterday, they were given a really decorative, like beaded plastic necklace, like you might see at Mardi Gras. And then they were given a big template, a big pin that looked like a medal. And on the medal it said, "I'm walking in memory of," and then they got to put in who they were walking in memory of. And there were many groups there about people that had lost loved ones to death through suicide. But a little girl came up to me, and she couldn't have been more than 6 or 7 years old, and she said, "What do you do?" And I was like, well, how do you answer that to a 6-year-old? But then I noticed what she had on her pin. It said, "I'm walking in memory of my daddy." And it was the most emotionally up-stirring reaction I could have ever expected. Those were people that I didn't want to be around because of the sadness. But with the reversal of understanding of who they were and the voices that they had and the message that they came to give all of us that were there was an understanding of inclusion. The difference doesn't matter. Who we are and how we are dedicated to our lives of Christ is what matters. We need to seek out and go against societal norms, to seek to live the life of inclusion for the most marginalized and the most different. You may not like them. It may not be your choice of who you're going to have at dinner. Let's face it. If any of you, prior to knowing who I was, saw me out on the street, tattooed and all, piercings and all, and someone said, look, there's your minister that's going to preach to you the next 10 weeks, you'd have been like, I'm out. See you later. And I know that. But it's not about who we are on the outside. It's about the messages that we give from the inside. And know that Jesus was all about upturning the tables and challenging the societal norms and making us understand that his message could come from the least of these. It could come from that six-year-old that lost their dad not even 8 months ago. It could be from that third world nation of that person that really only ever got to eat rice but was hungry most of their lives. It could come from that tattooed, pierced, different hair color, middle-aged woman who just truly believes that God calls us to be who we are. A great many lessons that we can learn surround us when we put inclusion and Jesus' radical message of loving the other at the center of our lives. Jesus' meeting with the Pharisees is very important because nobody of Jesus' caliber would have in that day. The Pharisees were searching out to persecute Jesus and to pinpoint him and say that, see, you're healing on the Sabbath. You're not worthy of God's love. And Jesus is teaching us that just by virtue of the way that we treat others, especially those who cannot pay us back, will be the reward that we receive in heaven. So how do we distinguish those that are different to us? What structure do we set up in our own lives that create a sense of hierarchy for you? And is that structure hindering you from true fellowship with one from another? Martin Luther King Jr. said it better than I think anybody could have said it in contemporary days. Martin Luther King Jr. said that our goal is to create a beloved community that will require a qualitative change in our souls as well as a quantitative change in our lives. Jesus is inviting to continue to for us to be not only challenging of our lives, but to no longer be content and complicit with ourselves, but at the same time, in doing so, be honest and authentic with what we give. What the Pharisees were trying to do to Jesus was to stump him and condemn him for healing on the Sabbath, but instead he put it back on them and made the decision theirs to understand that man-made laws were about to be overgrown, and that the necessity was that we not get wrapped up in them, but that we challenge them and see the miracles that we can miss that are right in front of us when we stay so in tune to what's written. What is customary, what is commonplace, what makes us complacent, Luke is telling us needs to be questioned. What we've done because we've always done it that way continually needs to be questioned. When we subject others to a place of status, we may just be turning away that invitation of the resurrection. So my question to you this week is, what type of host are you going to be? Amen. All believers of our Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. You are eagerly encouraged to do so during our communion hymn, which is found number 95 in your brown hymnals, At the Cross, verses 1, 2, and 4.
So I have a small confession that in Pennsylvania I know will be scandalous. I'm not a camp person. Don't like bugs, don't like the grass, don't like outside unless it's on a softball field. So I didn't do camp very well as a child. But when I was ordained and went over to Ohio to serve a couple congregations, it was known that camp was, there was no choice. So not only the first year did I sign up to counsel for camp and at Camp Christian in Ohio, I was also 8 months pregnant. And it was hot, and I was miserable. And the last day before Saturday, the sending off ceremony, they have this banquet, they call it. And literally these high school kids wore like prom dresses. And there was this one girl, I mean, when I was younger, we called them like goth, but I guess emo. She was dressed in all black, had safety pins all over the place, really scared the bejeebers out of me. And so the outfit that I had picked to go to this Fairly banquet, I hadn't tried on in a couple weeks, and I guess I expanded a little bit, and it was just tight out to the world, and nobody had anything that could hide the baby that was protruding from my belly, except this really scary girl that had all these safety pins. And she was like, well, I'll just give you my safety pins. And so we hooked it all up, and she safety pinned me, and I could go on my way and not look so scandalous. But it was then and there that even how much I like to say that I challenged the social norm, found myself making preconceived notions on judgments because of how somebody looked. And so I love when I read the Gospel of Luke and be reminded of my own sense of complacency, even when I like to think that I just push the boundaries as much as I can, I really am subject myself to the complacencies and the judgments of my heart. And when we come to this table, Luke tells us it gives us the opportunity to just put it all aside. Get rid of that baggage. Get rid of that judgment. The poorest of the poor and the richest of the rich can come to this table, have the same meal, and be nourished and sustained because our Lord died for us for that very reason. So regardless of your denominational affiliation, regardless of your church membership, regardless of what you look like, how much you make, or where you are on the journey, when you believe that Jesus is the Christ and truly believe him to be your Lord and Savior, this meal is open to all of you.
Let us pray. Father, I thank you once again for meeting us here at this communion table as we partake of the bread and the cup. And Lord, when I hear conversations, when I turn on the news, all I hear people say every day is, I want peace. I want to find peace. Yet, Lord, when we commit a sin or we do something wrong, we carry that year in, year out. We have a hard time forgiving ourselves. We can forgive others. We know that you've forgiven us. But Father, it is just so difficult to forgive ourselves. How can we truly have peace? So Father, at this table, this morning, I pray that we will forgive ourselves, that we will find your peace, a peace that passes all understanding, so that we truly can go out and spread peace. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
On the night of his arrest in the upper room, Jesus took the bread and he broke it, saying, "This is my body, which is broken for you." In the same after supper, he took the cup, and again giving praise and thanks to our God, he said that this cup is new covenant sealed in my blood for the forgiveness of sins. Do this in remembrance of me. And as often as you drink from the cup and eat from the bread, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.
If you are in need of a search home, in need of a church home, or if you are searching to reclaim and rededicate your life to Christ, or if you just feel a longing that this church family brings to you, you are eagerly encouraged and invited to come forward during our invitational hymn, which is, Lord, dismiss us with your blessing, and renew your faith in Christ, and publicly proclaim that he is your Lord and Savior. It's on 520 in your brown hymnals, and if you're able, please stand. Before I offer our benediction, I just want to apologize ahead of time very quickly if I scoot out shortly after worship. An hour and 20 minutes is a bit of a trek for me, and my baby has her opening day of soccer, and I am her coach. I don't know what we were thinking on that one. So I need to head home to get there on time for kickoff. So it's not that I don't want to spend time with you. I appreciate you, and I will definitely be back for our last Sunday together next week. So let us bow our heads to receive God's blessing. Gracious Lord, we thank you for the message that you've given us this morning. We ask to teach us to continue to encourage us not to be complicit and complacent and comfortable, but to continue to challenge the norms that we call our baselines, to encourage us to understand what it means to be radically inclusive and to practice it each day until we can be together again in your name. And it is in your most holy and precious name we pray this. Amen.